Welcome to the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. We're excited to bring you season three of new episodes featuring in-depth content across Singapore, ASEAN, and the United Kingdom. We've had some extraordinary guests on our channel, including Formula One's Claire Williams.
I'm a firm believer that any great team, any successful team has a great culture flowing through it. You aren't successful if you don't. So we put a lot of work into this.
Renowned mountaineer Kenton Cool.
That 2019 there with a client, a big storm came in and literally destroyed Camp 2. And I've got some video footage of Sherpas like trying to hold on to the tent fabric as it blows away. And
the Royal Navy's Commodore Steve Morehouse, commander of the UK Carrier Strike Group.
The squadron of F-35 aircraft we have on board is a Royal Air Force squadron, and the personnel in there are drawn from both the Navy and the Air Force. So, you know, what better way of showing just the efficiency and the joined up nature that we now have?
And distinguished Sky News anchor Jeremy Thompson.
We had two little vans with satellite links, and we leapfrogged up the road to Pristina, the capital, throughout that first day, with non-stop coverage from basically inside a war zone.
We also sit down with the likes of TikTok, Twitch, and Twitter, and continue to bring you conversations around business and trade, leadership and people, sustainability, sports and arts, and much, much more. Thank you, as always, for your support, and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Daisy, and welcome to our Everything You Wanted to Know But Was Too Afraid to Ask podcast from the British Chamber of Commerce ICT Committee. Each episode, we'll be joined by a technology expert who will be demystifying everyday technology concepts, those things we wish we knew a little bit more about. Today, we'll be covering the topic of endpoint security. Today, we're very lucky to be joined by another one of Singapore's leading tech minds, Saeed Abdul Rahman Alzagoff, the product sales lead for cloud and endpoint security in ASEAN and Korea for Cisco Systems. Saeed, you've been in IT for a little over a decade, and you've architected on some huge networking and cybersecurity programs. In your recent years, that focus has shifted to cloud computing and all the different new cyber considerations that comes along with that. And you are certainly one of the trusted minds when it comes to companies creating their cybersecurity strategies. Today, we're going to be focusing on that expertise of yours in endpoint security. So we're just going to start with really defining what endpoint is, and if you can build a little bit of a history of the growth of endpoint and how it impacts our lives.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Daisy. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be part of this podcast and to be sharing some thoughts on cybersecurity as well as the endpoint security. Right? So with regards to your question, what is an endpoint, right? So I actually Googled this, and I wanted to know what exactly was the definition. So as presented, endpoint is a remote computing device that communicates back and forth with a network to which it is connected. Right. And examples of endpoints include things like desktops, laptops, smartphones. But in our everyday lives, you know, we are all exposed to various types of endpoints, right? And in the last 5 to 10 years, there has been a huge increase in the number of endpoints that people are using on a day-to-day basis, as well as in organizations. You can think of the likes of you know, smart devices or IoT devices. You know, even at home today, I can control my air conditioner remotely, right? So those are all different types of endpoints that get connected to a network and subsequently get connected to the internet, right? So if you imagine a person's daily life today, when they wake up, there's their phone. When they want to do their work, there's the laptop that is issued by the company in most cases. If you have a side hustle, you might be using a tablet and so on and so forth. So there's a real proliferation of the different types of devices that people are using today. And as more and more services are being introduced, more and more things are connected to the internet, right? So if you think about a camera before, It is a device that you took pictures with, and then you upload it into your computer using an SD card. Today, you can snap a picture directly on Instagram, share it to the cloud, and everybody gets to see it, right? So with this rise in terms of the number of devices that people are using, employees also want to have the same kind of devices that they are used to using at home in their workplace, right? Which subsequently presents a headache for IT and security administrators. This flexibility in terms of using the devices that they choose is a common trend today. And I think that would then translate to some of the security mechanisms that people have to think about and evolve along the way.
Excellent, very comprehensive. And I like that even the expert just likes to go back to Google to ensure that we've got that shared common definition. Really, really useful. So, I mean, you listed off a lot of things there, you know, that Internet of Things, and that I suppose can make it obvious to some in terms of how the lack of endpoint protection could impact us. But could you elaborate a bit further on how damaging that might be, an endpoint attack?
Yeah, so when it comes to endpoint security protection, the lack of it can actually be very damaging. So I remember a customer that I worked with who came across a ransomware breach, right? So when they came to us and then we did a root cause analysis, we actually found out that they had an expired antivirus subscription for their endpoints. And with that expiry, there was actually no other endpoint protection mechanisms in place. So that was really that first entry point for how the ransomware got into the environment. And the resultant damage was something that was very problematic in terms of cost. Right. So, and this is not an isolated case. So multiple breaches have been reported where the lack of endpoint security protection was really an entry point for different types of threats that are out there. For the everyday user, I see this as the same as well. Right. So if you, while people think of endpoint security as really catered towards antivirus solutions, in Singapore, if you look at it from a different perspective that can be damaging to you, there has been this recent rise of phishing scams, right? So for how do you kind of get protection from being phished? Free solutions like OpenDNS, it provides a very good level of protection for your home network. And they do it in a way where it is looking at the website that you are actually connecting to, right? So when you do receive an email that is potentially malicious, or you receive an SMS from your phone that is potentially malicious, and you really don't know, right, that this is indeed a malicious website. So solutions like this would actually analyze the destination that you're going to, so in terms of the domain it resolves to, and from there, if it has it categorized as a phishing site or a malware site, it will actually prevent you from connecting over there. Right, so this would be an all-encompassing solution for your home network, whether you're using a phone, a tablet, or even your smart devices that you have deployed in your home. Right, so if you want this to follow you wherever you go, right, you can also deploy it as an agent. So various types of endpoint security technologies that are available out there for organizations as well as the individual home users, and some of them are even free.
Yeah, without them actually getting onto your network, whether we're talking about a company network or the individual network that we all own these days. Yeah, it gets quite scary when you start thinking about it. So great to hear that there are some very easy and you mentioned there are some free solutions that we can mm-hmm. be looking at. From a kind of standards position or kind of an enterprise position in terms of the different technologies, what should we be looking at when we're trying to develop a very comprehensive endpoint security plan? Could you just talk us through the stages that we would need to go through?
Yeah, for sure. So I've helped multiple organizations in terms of defining what should be done in their security strategy. And I think the ultimate goal is to develop an effective security posture where the endpoint security strategy should be kind of cemented. It has to be looked at in the simplest way would be to categorize it to three key pillars. And I define this as connect, protect, and response. So for short, you know, the acronym of CPR, so people can remember. Connect is the pillar where you would assess how devices and users are getting connected to a network. And this could be in the form of things like zero trust policies, where you explicitly deny all. So everybody is bad until you have verified them and allow either users or devices to segments of your network. Right. So the key thing here is that you want to be cautious of everyone and then allow them access into your network only when you have verified. Right. So this could be in the form of things like understanding that the user is who he or she says they are and having some form of posture controls to ensure that the device is trusted and free from vulnerabilities. Because a very common way of how breaches actually come into the network is through vulnerabilities, right? And the technology that is used over here are things like multi-factor authentication or continuous posturing of devices. So that's really the connect piece. The second pillar of this is known as protect, right? And protect is the pillar that is doing the proactive threat blocking, whether it be analyzing files or analyzing the network connections that are going out to the internet or within your network itself. In this sense, a solution should be something that is able to assess files and processes running in the endpoint and to use more sophisticated behavior-based engines to detect against zero-day threats. In today's solutions, you know, it has evolved quite a way into incorporating things like machine learning and AI algorithms to be used to enhance the capabilities. And this is typically delivered through an EDR solution. The next thing on the protect side is to look at the connections that are going out to the internet, because this is really where a lot of the threats originate, right? And thousands of domains are being discovered daily. And some of them are definitely used in a bad way as part of our threat intel assessment. And websites that people access, they should continuously be inspected in real time, based on both domains, URLs, and also the files that they are downloading. And those solutions that, you know, people subscribe to, it should have engines in place to know that this new destinations could potentially be malicious and to have some form of proactive blocking mechanism in place. So that's the protect pillar. And the last piece is on response. So I think response is critical as well, right? Because, you know, as they always say, it's not a matter of if you will be breached, it's a matter of when, right? So the response piece really relates to the what if I am compromised scenario. So organizations should be able to query and get statistics on the different devices that might potentially indicate suspicious behavior. Or if you were compromised already, you want to be able to extract this information in a way that is comprehensive enough to get context, to give you a clear picture in terms of what actually happened, how it came in, and ultimately to prevent future incidents from happening, right? So while security might seem very daunting at times, it's really not as complex as people imagine once you have a plan in place, right? You have a strategy moving forward, and from there, you try to execute in steps through this journey.
It's really useful. Just breaking it down like that, I think, makes it less daunting, as you say. Although, to add to our feeling of dauntingness, then we start to introduce cloud technologies and obviously the awesome power that cloud computing can bring an organization and an individual. How do you start to continue to protect it from an endpoint position when we're using cloud technologies?
Yeah, definitely a key transition to a lot of what organizations will be looking at, right? So the cloud, you know, the cloud is a beautiful place. Gone are the days where we just lay on the grass and look at the sky to admire its beauty, right? So in all seriousness, the cloud has really enabled access to many different organizations out there to have security done in a very proactive way, right? So In my perspective, there are a number of different key benefits that cloud solutions would bring. The first to me is the insights and the sophisticated engines that it can have. The cloud being hyperscalable, it really allows this consolidation of telemetry across all of the users, all over the world, to be ingested into this very sophisticated engines. And that would then translate to a better sense of what is going on and how we can best protect against this new variant of a threat, right? So take into perspective, if there is a threat that is seen in London, for example, maybe it originated as a zero-day threat from London, targeting people in the UK. This, by the time somebody, a user in New Zealand wakes up the next day, the cloud would already have it in place to protect against that particular type of threat, right? If you compare this to an on-premise solution where updates have to happen periodically, even in the shortest viable update interval of some of these threat signatures, there would always be this gap in terms of what the cloud knows versus what your on-prem database would know, and then that would translate to the protection mechanism, right? So threat intel for cloud solutions is always very dynamic, and it can really help in terms of doing proactive blocking for threats. The second is the user experience, right? So I always inculcate that security shouldn't be this hindrance to, you know, different business objectives or digital initiatives that people might have. The cloud, because it sits closer to the user, the security mechanisms can actually be used in a way where it does not impact productivity, right? So with this in mind, the devices themselves that are connected to the internet, when there is an agent that is being deployed today on those different devices, that allows the offloading of resource intensive services to the cloud, right? Because when you do that, your device that you're using for work, for your daily work, that becomes a little bit, it becomes more effective. It does not slow down. And a lot of the intelligence that is happening or the assessments that are happening is done in the cloud, right? So it does not hinder performance to the laptop and therefore translates to better productivity for the everyday employee. The third, I would say, is cost, right? So leveraging on the cloud allows users to really scale up as they move on the security journey. If they have more employees, you know, in 2 years' time, they can just buy more licenses and leverage on the same cloud solution. There's no dependency on any hardware limitations or to have a network connectivity which requires traffic to be forced over to a centralized location. Now, everybody is using the solution that is closest to them. Right. And with regards to costs, it can be translated to an OPEX-based model, which allows people to scale up accordingly and turn on new features, new functionalities, if should they want to. And because of how the cloud solutions are architected today, it really allows for multiple security technologies to be consolidated. And this is really the basis of Gartner's definition of the Secure Access Service Edge, or SASE for short, right? And this is something that in my conversations with a lot of customers is being widely adopted. And people are looking at this consolidation of security services. And the reason why they can embark on this is because the costs are much lower when you compare it to the complex integrations that could arise from managing different siloed solutions, right? So I would say this would be the three key things. So the first would be the insights and the engines that the cloud provide. The second would be the user experience, a much better effective solution. And the third is the cost for cloud technologies.
Well, you've definitely sold it. What I'm hearing is we should all migrate to cloud as soon as possible. Just along that line of giving advice, if we don't yet have the buy-in or the funds in place to make this full migration to cloud, what would be your piece of advice that you personally and from a company perspective, we could implement today to make endpoints more secure?
Right. So I think that all organizations should look at security as a journey, right? So it is important for them to take a step back and formulate a plan, as I said, right? So security is this journey, and the ultimate goal is really to develop an effective security posture. You don't know when you're going to be hit. You don't know what kind of threats that will arise in the future, but you need to have a way for you to mitigate against a large majority of these threats. So if I break it down into two different types of you, two different segments of users, the first would be the individuals at home, right? So those that want some form of protection, at the minimum, you probably want to have some form of antivirus agent that is installed in your personal device and to look at the different files that you potentially might be downloading from the internet. And from there, you can then expand it to looking at protection against phishing or scam sites that might potentially result in loss of money, right? Because you don't know that the threat actor is actually a threat actor, right? So for the home users, this kind of cloud-based security solutions, they're typically not that expensive and are usually subscription-based. There are some free ones that you can leverage on as well. But for those subscription-based services, just think of it as a few more dollars added to your monthly Netflix subscription, right? But all the while, you know, it's doing some form of protection for you. For organizations, my advice would be to understand what you have today and what kind of gaps you might potentially need to address moving forward, right? When I say moving forward, this would be to have that understanding of maybe what your different lines of businesses would have in terms of their digitization initiatives and how security can complement that. So commonly things like moving into some cloud services that could be introduced in the near future, or even just as a HR model, you know, you want to be able to support a hybrid workforce. In most cases, the endpoint security strategy should be considered, and leveraging on the cloud would be something that can provide lots of benefits, as I've mentioned. So if we go back into the CPR acronym, right? So for Connect, if we want to, if for example, you want to allow your users to be having a hybrid work model. So for that, do I have sufficient capacity for them to connect back into my office network? Ask questions like, do I actually know if my employees are actually my employees connecting to a corporate application and it's not a spoofed account? What kind of devices are they using to connect back into my corporate applications? Is it free from vulnerabilities? So those are some of the questions that you might ask yourself and to identify some of the gaps. For protection, if you want to look at this hybrid workforce and looking at your endpoint security strategy, if you only have an antivirus solution, would that be sufficient, right? Do you know where your users are going to the internet, and should they be going to a malicious destination accidentally? Is this something that I can detect and I can block against? For the response piece, if there is something that does happen to a user working from home, would I be able to kick that user out of the network automatically when I detect something suspicious? Or if it is actually compromised, would I be able to remediate the endpoint remotely, right? So just some questions for you to think about and to identify some gaps. With cloud solutions, you know, this really gives organizations a good way to embark on the security journey. Again, it is a journey, right? So you start somewhere, know your end goal. And then along the way, when you want to enable additional features, you can do so in a turnkey model, right? So for the cloud security vendors that are out there, a lot of the solutions are developed in an agile manner that is really in line with what are some of the trends that we see in IT coming up. And more functions are being added and consolidated So organizations can, you know, rest assured that if they want to add in a new security technology, they can do so very easily. And when deciding on what kind of solution to start with, you know, there are many different cloud security vendors that are out there. And my advice would be to understand what you would potentially need and then work with one of them as a trusted advisor so that they can craft out a strategy for you longer term instead of shorter term, right? And you know, if you decide that Cisco is the one, you know, just hit me up and we can discuss a little bit more.
Definitely. And I think that's, you know, brilliant in terms of making sure that we think about this as a journey. And it's not about that big bang move into cloud. It doesn't have to all happen at once, that progressive journey, aligning with business objectives, really key to making sure the security strategy is in place and working well. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. You've certainly demystified endpoint protection for us. You've given us a lot to think about in terms of just generally cybersecurity. And I'm sure there'll be people calling about different cloud migration strategies as well, Saeed. So we've covered so much in such a short amount of time. Just can't thank you enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Daisy. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
And thank you so much to all our listeners. Hope to see you at the next podcast, where we'll be demystifying another everyday technology concept.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the British Chambers podcast. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, and why not leave us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple, Google, and the other podcast platforms. For more information, please visit our website at www.britcham.org.sg and tune in next time for a brand new episode.